Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. 10 past 8, the morning show with Greg Berg next.
Support for WGTD's morning show comes from the generosity of the family and friends of the late Frank and Beverly Falduto, two lifelong Kenosians who devoted much of their lives to the community in general and to WGTD in particular. Mr. Falduto played an essential role in creating WGTD nearly 40 years ago and later served as station manager and occasional morning show co-host. It's always great to welcome into our studios once a month Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College, and there's always no shortage of exciting things to be talking about, and this particular broadcast with President Albrecht coincides with exactly a week before commencement here at Gateway Technical College, and it's an especially exciting time. So, President Brian Albrecht, it's an exceptional pleasure to welcome you to the morning show today.
Good morning, Greg. It's always a pleasure to be with you. And I thought the week of finals would be the most exciting week, but boy, this week is really building up some momentum.
All kinds of cool things going on, and there are a lot of different things to acknowledge. And I know you want to make sure to get a thank you to Kenall Manufacturing.
Absolutely. You know, last week we had this terrific opportunity to thank Kenall in front of our community with the ribbon cutting of the new Kenall Protective Services Training Center. This has been a vision and a project that we've been working on for over 3 years, and Mr. Jim Hawkins, the CEO of Kenall Manufacturing, has been a great partner with us in many different venues, but for his support and his acknowledgement of the commitment that he's made to our community, we've named our law enforcement training center after Kenall Manufacturing. And so the lieutenant governor was here. We had a big celebration, a lot of activities, a lot of great speakers. And then the really exciting part was we had live demonstrations going on. So Jim and his team and about 200 of our community members, along with the lieutenant governor, got to see what it was like to be in our simulation training center. I got to go into our new shooting range, had a chance to see what a crime scene was like and really become detectives themselves. And it was really an exciting opportunity for all of us here at Gateway, but hopefully for our community. And the important part about that is we now have a world-class facility to train our officers. So the men and women that every day work hard to protect us, to make sure that we can live the lives that we do, and those folks are trained right here at Gateway, and now we have a facility that's going to match the types of expectations that they'll see when they go out into the force.
Speaking of world-class facilities, we're hearing some hammering now in the lower floor of this building, of course, with the work well underway for what's going to be a jaw-droppingly impressive nursing facility.
Yeah, I have to tell you, I walked through it just the other day to get an idea of what was going on, and it changes so fast. They've completely transformed the first floor of this facility already. What was at one time the Bioscience Center is now being renamed the Inspire Center, and it'll be a fully functioning hospital facility. So it'll help our nursing programs, it'll help our surgical tech programs, it'll help our dental programs. And the unique thing about this facility is that it will be filled with human patient simulators, so human robots, if you will. And our students are going to have a chance to interact just as if they reported to a hospital every day and work on patients, except the patients will be robots. It's a really interesting technology because they're controlled by our faculty. So the robot can respond as the commands are given by the faculty. So if something happens in an emergency situation, they can raise the blood pressure, they can lower the blood pressure, they can have different things happen to the robot, and our nurses have to be able to respond instantaneously.
Right, if they say, oh, this hurts all of a sudden. And
They've got to know how to diagnose that and provide the right treatment for it. And so this facility has been a great resource for us for many years in the IT area and the biologies and the chemistries. And we have biology, chemistry staying here, but IT, information technology, has moved to the Racine campus, where we just recently completed a brand new center of excellence for information technology with a focus on cybersecurity and networking. And it's just a beautiful facility, and I think really represents, in that case, what students are going to face in the IT industry and now here in the medical industry.
Wow. As if there weren't enough excitement right here, I know we have students who are hither and yon and in several different countries right now, and that's a really exciting new wrinkle to Gateway that, you know, when I started here, now 30 years ago, nobody ever did that, and now that's becoming an almost regular thing here. It's so exciting.
Right. I don't want to say it's commonplace because it's a very special experience that our students receive, but I think now collectively over 16 countries we've visited with Gateway students, and
wow,
much of that focus has been on providing service through service learning initiatives. But you're so right. Let me just highlight a couple of our groups that are traveling this week. We have a team in Germany, and this is our 10th year of an exchange program in Germany where our friends from Germany come here for 3 weeks, and then our students go there for 3 weeks, and they actually participate in classes at KSH in Hanau, Germany. They'll go visit industries. They'll provide a project in which then both schools will collaborate on helping to identify some world issue, and our students get a chance to work on that. So that's been a really solid partnership for us, and I think is a great way to expose our students to some international business models. But we have a team right now in Switzerland as well, which is quite unique. Engineering students are there, interior design students, and they're working on rehabbing a historical site, which is a castle. Mm. And they get to actually stay there, so they're living in the castle, and they're working on building out different elements of it. And I think that, too, is going to be something that they will never, ever forget. And then the last one that I'll just highlight today, and there are others that are taking place, but this one I had a chance to participate in last year, and it still has made an unbelievable impression on me. It's the service that we provide for the villages of Costa Rica and Nicaragua. Mm. And these are some of the most isolated areas that I've ever been to, so probably in the world. And our students go up into the villages. They're on a little minivan bus. There's no air conditioning, no fresh water, no food. Mm. People travel for miles on the backs of their donkeys, or they walk barefoot through the jungles to get there. And they provide, our students provide free medical care for them, free dental care, free vet tech care, teach them a little bit about eating habits. And it's absolutely remarkable to see what our students are able to do and how passionate they are about helping others. And you leave there a completely different person with a great respect on all of the resources that we have here in our home communities and across this great country, and know that people are, you know, not that far away, but within a few thousand miles are just looking at us for any type of help we can provide. And so great credit. Thank you to all the students that participate in those events every year. Thanks to our community for supporting that effort. And it's really helping to make Gateway a more globally respectable community. Mm. So happy to be a part of that.
Great. I know you have some awards you want to highlight.
Oh, my gosh. Last week I went to the 5th and 6th grade STEM Awards, Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math. Now, they've added arts in there, so it's really STEAM Awards. Mm. And I wish I could name every student by their first name, but I just want to highlight Emma. She did such a great job. She's going to be coming to Gateway next year through the Real School Partnership in Racine. So our instructors will be challenged because this young lady and her team of three other middle school girls are absolutely remarkable. They designed a software program that has a game around Shrek and the clay animation figures that interact with you. And I was engaged with that. I probably played the game for 25 minutes while I was there. But we gave out all kinds of awards, 75 kids from around the community talking about science and technology and some of the most creative projects that they did. And I think everyone deserves a blue ribbon. Many got a purple, which is an awesome ribbon. Mm. But those that received the Grand Champion Awards, I'll tell you, our community is going to be in good hands when those young people grow up. They were sharp.
Terrific. Well, finally, I know you have found yourself quite excited and inspired, although for a while also terrified, to be part of an event called Kenosha on Campus under the auspices of the Lemon Street Art Gallery. So you have had to explore some new avenues that you've never explored before. Explain to our listeners what this is all about.
You bet. Well, Greg, you know I have these hidden talents that even I didn't know they were
that well
hidden, right?
Yeah.
So I want to thank, first of all, Lemon Street Gallery for their leadership in the community about raising the visibility of the arts. Last week we celebrated in both Kenosha and Racine a focus on the arts. We held a poetry event over at the IMET Center. I was fortunate enough to be a part of an event over at the Horizon Center, in which we celebrated the creative economy, talking about how jobs and industry can have an impact on the communities we live in through the arts. And So about a month ago, I was asked if I would help support the Kenosha on Canvas fundraising event, which in that case they identify what they call celebrity artists. I don't know how they got my name. I think they went alphabetical Albrecht on this. And I volunteered to do this, so I have to tell all our audience that the last thing I painted was my living room, so this will be my second big painting.
Right.
And I agreed to put a painting on canvas, so it was a blank slate, and it was quite the challenge. It took me actually 3 weeks before I got the nerve up to actually put the brush in the ink and put it on the canvas, but I'm really proud of how it turned out. And it's actually my screensaver on my phone now, so I'm showing everyone.
Yes,
it
is.
It will go up for live auction on May 19th at 6 o'clock at the Women's Club of Kenosha. And there are tickets available for this event, and I think you can go to the Kenosha Chamber to find those. And they're $35. You can also go to the Lemon Street Gallery website. But it's going to be a great night. There are five different paintings that are being developed throughout the community. A live auction. I don't think it's going to be an expensive auction because I know I'm not going to pay much for mine. But it'll be a lot of fun. There will be refreshments there and just a great way to celebrate the arts. And I was really pleased and proud. And I want to thank everyone at the Lemon Street Gallery for inviting me.
That's great. So, again, that event is going to be Friday, May 19th, 6 to 9 p.m. The event, I think, actually happens at the Women's
Club. Or is
that
the Women's Club of Kenosha.
At the Women's Club. So right downtown, really close there to Library Park. Well, great. You do so many things well, and now we can add one more to the list. That's great. So as we said, today's morning show is airing exactly a week before spring graduation, which is, of course, a really red-letter event for Gateway Technical College. And for this particular commencement, you have a very special commencement speaker that I know you want to introduce right now.
I do. You know, the commencement ceremony for any college, university, high school, in fact, now I see them at middle schools and sometimes even elementary schools,
right,
are sort of the signatory event of a person's career going through that experience. And sometimes the journey takes 2 years, sometimes it takes four, sometimes it might take 6 or 8 years to kind of get through the two-year degree program. And so that event is more about the celebration of the journey and the beginning of a future. You know, so we're kind of looking toward what is next for our students. And everyone comes to it, all the parents and, you know, the children of our students come to it. And it is really a family-type gathering. We host over at UW Parkside, so we use the entire field house for the event. And it's always an uplifting experience for me personally. I know it is for our students and all of our guests that attend. And probably one of the key elements that, at least my responsibility, is to help identify someone in our community that will serve as a role model and help our students see themselves a little bit clearer in the future as they tell their story, their journey about their engagement in our community. Because as you know, Greg, the vast majority, over 96% of our students, stay in our community. So they graduate from Gateway and they live in our community, and they're our neighbors, our friends, our coworkers, and it's great when we can have role models in our community for people to look up to. So I'm proud to introduce to our community today, Carla Crable will be our commencement speaker. And I've known Carla ever since I've come to this community, actually. And she has just been a real strong champion for what Gateway represents to our community, the history, and has actually taken some classes at Gateway when she was in high school. So I know that that's a real strong connection for us. But her passion for the way the community can add value to a person's life and the way everybody has a sense of responsibility to the community is the message I think that our students will really be happy to hear.
Wow, very good. So, Carla Crable, we're so happy to have you here. Thank you for making time in your busy schedule to be part of the morning show. Let's find out a little bit about you, especially where you come from originally and what your roots to Kenosha are, if any.
Sure. Thank you for having me here this morning. I was born here in Kenosha and went to schools in Kenosha. And as Brian mentioned, I actually attended classes here at Gateway when I was a high school senior.
Just yesterday.
And just yesterday, exactly.
Maybe the day before yesterday, but yeah.
And so I should probably give Brian partial credit here, Gateway Technical College, for where I am today, because when I was in high school, I actually wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do when I grew up. I often joke, I still don't know what I want to do when I grow up. But I did attend classes here at Gateway and ended up taking some business courses here, which kind of steered me towards the business field. And so it was the first step in my career path.
You know what's really interesting about that? Because today we talk an awful lot about pathways and articulation with high schools. We didn't talk about it all that much a few years ago. And so Carla really took advantage of that without a lot of fanfare from the rest of the education community to say, this is something you ought to be doing, which is what we do today. We actually have full-time staff at the high schools working with students. And, in fact, we'll start our Gateway Promise program this week, and we'll have all the high school students here for that. So that's really a great kind of segue that this vision was important not only today but years ago.
Yeah. Do you remember how it happened? Do you remember anything about how you even heard about Gateway or what prompted you to think this would make sense for you to do?
It was probably more self-motivation than anything, because my senior year in high school, I believe I had one course I had to take. I kind of was on a self-accelerated program in high school, and I knew I didn't want to go to Bradford, which is what I attended, for one class and turn around and go home for the day. So I finished my course first thing in the morning and then walked from the Bradford campus over to the Gateway campus and took a couple courses during the day so I could help figure out what I wanted to do after I graduated.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I think that makes so much sense for anyone today, because until you sort out where you want to kind of pursue your passion, you could go to college or university for quite a few years and spend a lot of money and time and effort and not know exactly the direction you want to go. And Gateway and other colleges like ours are really focused on the occupational experience, so you get to try different careers while you're here. And it's really a great way to kind of get exposed to how does this link to our community and maybe a potential career.
And one of the important things to me, too, was I come from a large family. I have five sisters, so there were six of us. And I was actually the first to attend college in my family. And to me, it was important because I knew we all wanted to have careers and what was the path we wanted to take. And our parents didn't take college courses, didn't go to college. Our grandparents didn't. So didn't have a lot of direction in the home on what to do next. So that's where the self-motivation came from, discovering what I wanted to do. And happy to say, you know, four of my sisters also graduated college. And, you know, one of them here from Gateway. And she's a nursing assistant over at United Hospital, my sister Rhonda. My sister Sue actually went to Whitewater. She didn't go to Gateway, but she's a teacher over at Tremper High School. So a lot of different avenues we all took. But I think me taking that first step into going into taking college courses hopefully helped all of them.
Yeah, wow. I think you've just described probably the average typical Gateway student. I mean, I was a first-generation college student as well, and so you have to be a little self-motivated to try it. It's different, you know.
Right.
And I love the story that your sisters also attended Gateway or Whitewater, and they're all great partners with us, Parkside and so on. And we will make sure we invite them all back for your commencement speech so they get to hear you.
There you go. My sister Wendy graduated from Gateway up in the Green Bay area.
Okay.
I think it was, or one, something like that.
Northeast Wisconsin.
Northeast
College,
Wisconsin.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Right.
There.
Very good. Well, as we said before, you are the president of the Southeast Region for Johnson Bank. And, of course, a lot of us bank at Johnson Bank, I do, or see the signs and know something about it. But I suspect that a lot of people, and maybe even people who actually use Johnson Bank, don't necessarily understand just the scope of this company. I mean, just how far you reach and so on. Kind of tell us about the dimensions of Johnson Bank and how it's put together.
Johnson Bank is a great organization. And we may not reach very far out into multiple states. We actually are only in Wisconsin and Arizona. And a lot of people say, why Arizona? And my understanding of that is Sam Johnson realized that a lot of people, as they retired from Wisconsin, retired to the Arizona market, which is why we ended up having locations down in Arizona. But we are primarily located up here in Wisconsin, our headquarters in Racine. And I have offices throughout the state in different pockets in Wisconsin. So it is a wonderful organization owned by the Johnson family. Sorry. The Johnson family comes from S.C. Johnson Wax, the company that makes the products like Windex and Pledge. Sam Johnson at one point decided that the Racine Kenosha community needed a bank. And he was actually on the board of another bank and went to them and said, I think we need to open a location in Racine. And they kind of shot him down and said, that's not a market we want to be in. And so he said, okay, he resigned from the board and opened up his own bank. His approach to banking is different, or was different, than a lot of others in that community first. And anytime you hear the Johnson story, or talk to one of the Johnson family members, it really is all about community first and client first. And we'll talk about that maybe a little bit later, but just the commitment they have to the communities that they're in, making them a better place, is their number one goal. Hmm. And that was part of the reason I chose to be part of the family there.
I think that's an absolutely remarkable story. When you think about the history that SC Johnson has had in our community and all the different elements of support that they provide, and this idea of helping people achieve their dreams, whether it's buying a home or buying a car or starting a business, and to have a trusted bank in their community that understands those very same values and really demonstrates that through their own leadership, not only starting a bank but also providing all of the great job opportunities in our community, and the partnership that the entire family and many different elements, including Johnson Bank, has with Gateway and other elements mm-hmm. of our community. It just shows that their level of investment is very, very deep in this community.
That's neat. So it is certainly a bank based right here in southeastern Wisconsin, but explain just how far the reach is in terms of the whole state of Wisconsin. I mean, how far do you go?
Well, we have seven different regions within the company. Southeast region's one of them, which is the one I run. And then we have the Milwaukee market, which we're really trying to focus on Milwaukee and grow our Milwaukee market. And we have Janesville, Madison, the Northeast, which is the Green Bay, Appleton area, and then the Northwest, which is in Hayward area. And a lot of people will say, why Hayward? but the family has some vacation homes up in that area, and they opened up a branch up there.
Okay.
Yeah, well, and Hayward is where the Fishing Hall of Fame is. I've been up there a few times, and there's a lot of great things. My grandparents had cabins on Nelson Lake in Hayward, so as a young kid, I would spend a lot of time up in Hayward. I love that area.
Oh, it's gorgeous. Absolutely. Well, that's neat. So we understand that in addition to all that keeps you busy with Johnson Bank itself, that you're also involved in other organizations like CABA and so on. So surely through that involvement, that probably even more deepens your understanding of kind of the business landscape and climate here in southeastern Wisconsin. How would you assess things right now?
I think the economy is just doing wonderful in the southeast region right now. There's some differences between the Kenosha and the Racine market. As Brian would attest to, Todd Battle over at CABA has done a fantastic job helping with business development in this community, and I'm fortunate to be part of the CABA board and be involved in that. That's been a great experience for me. I think I've been on that board maybe about 10 years. It's been a long time. They're eventually going to kick me off. but that's a great organization, and they've done a lot for this community. I remember the days when Chrysler shut down in Kenosha and everybody wondered what was going to happen, what are we going to do with all these people that are unemployed, aren't able to find jobs? And if you look at where Kenosha is today, it's just completely turned around. And that didn't take one person. That took the community to work together to bring this together. So I was fortunate to be part of that over the years in trying to attract some new business and employment into this community. Racine, I'm involved in a lot of different activities in Racine as well. They've been attracting new business to the community as well and doing a wonderful job up there. So to me, it's important to get involved in different community activities, not just from a self-benefit of what you can learn from these different organizations and the people you interact with, but it's important to give back to the community and the value each of us adds to at the table during the discussion period is just so key. Different perspectives from different businesses really is where we make great decisions.
Hmm. Yeah, I think Carla does such a great job of describing it. The whole identity of a community, it takes everyone working together in order to solve issues or to strengthen a community. So whether it's a financial investment through the banking and lending industries, or whether it's the government agencies that have to figure out how do we now adjust zoning or whatever it might be for land development, municipalities in cooperation for protective services for our citizens, educational entities to provide greater access to job training. All of those elements need to come together, and it takes great leadership, and Carla's leadership both on CABA and RCDC and many other organizations is exactly what keeps our community strong. So thank you for your service for that.
So what do you sense is going to be the direction of this part of the state in the next few years? I mean, just as you feel so positive about the present moment, Are you equally positive and optimistic about the immediate future?
I think both Racine and Kenosha are going to be challenged with employment. That seems to be the number one topic. So I'm optimistic about growing the community, but I think our biggest challenge is going to be finding qualified individuals for employment. And that seems to be a hot topic amongst many organizations, including ours, and how we go about doing that. So we've had to kind of change our strategy on how we attract talent into Johnson Financial Group. We actually reach out more now than we did before. We used to have 20 applicants for every one job. It's not that way anymore. Hmm. Now we have to reach out. So we've been reaching out to the universities. We've reached out to Gateway, to Parkside, to Carthage, and we've established different programs with each of those to sit with the students, offer them internship programs. We sit during the interview process, helping them with their interview skills. We've brought classrooms into the bank. Our David Wilbeck, one of our credit analyst managers, has brought a group from Parkside in to sit with our credit team for a few days to help them learn the financial skills. So we've been very creative on different things we've been trying to do at Johnson Bank to attract some of that talent. And what's worked really well for us is then as they graduate, they have a job offer lined up. So we've actually hired several of them that have gone through one of these programs. As they graduate, we line it up so they start as soon as they want.
Isn't that exciting? When you think about what opportunities are out there for young people today or adults that are being retrained in different areas. And, you know, I was recently asked that same question about, are you optimistic about all the future? And the only other choice would be to be pessimistic. So right. I choose optimistic that we're going to figure
answer.
This out.
I'm with you on that.
We're going to figure this out and we're going to make this continue to make this a great place to live. But, you know, with the support of the community and, you know, what Gene Moran is doing for the Strive Initiative and building a better future for our community and Jeff Neubauer over in Racine and, you know, higher expectations and really trying to align the types of services that Carla describes, the education from very early, whether it's working with junior achievement up in the elementary schools or all the way through college and university internships at Johnson Bank. All of those experiences make a difference, and they might not be immediate, but over time, that engagement and that ongoing conversation and providing opportunities really help to give people hope and opportunity and makes everyone optimistic, I think, for the future.
For those of you just joining us, we have in our studios today, well, first of all, Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College, and another president with us as well, Carla Crable, who is president for the Southeast region of Johnson Bank. And Carla Crable is going to be the commencement speaker one week from today for Gateway's spring commencement exercises. Carla Crable, Johnson Bank is really, I would say, renowned for the way in which it, as we've already talked, supports the community. And many of your employees are involved in various community-based organizations of one kind or another. It's obviously central to the identity of the bank and towards the very top of your priorities. Why is that? And describe kind of some of the ways in which your employees are active in the community in the way I was just describing.
Sure. I would tell you it starts at the top. So the family itself is very involved in the community and the leadership involved in the community. One of the things that I stress to my team is the importance of getting involved in different projects and being part of the community. But I always stress, make sure you get involved in something that you're passionate about. Because if you do that, you're going to be much more successful. Don't just sign up to do something just to do it. Have some passion around it. So we make sure that each of our associates finds something that they have an interest in and they do get involved in the community. And then we as an organization have, coming up, I think it's next week, we have a volunteer day that we commit all of our associates out into the community. So about 1,200 employees out into the communities that they're in to volunteer for a different organization. So we have several projects we're working on, whether it's Habitat for Humanity, Women's and Children's Horizons, all kinds of different organizations that we go out to in the masses and work on projects for them. Just to kind of clean up the yard for a day, sit and read with senior citizens for a day, all kinds of different things that we do on that particular day. So from an organization standpoint, it has our commitment, also has our commitment to give our associates time to go out and do what they want to do. Mm-hmm. So even if it's during the working hours, we let them go out and teach courses at the local schools or go out and do things, mentor students, do different things in the community during banking hours, because we really do feel it's important.
You know, it's just a remarkable commitment to the community. And, you know, there's two ways to look at this. One certainly is it's nice to do. The community needs it. There's always enough, more than enough projects to work on. But on the other side, what a fulfilling experience for all of the individuals participating, so all of your employees. I mean, it's a way to improve retention of an employee. It's a way to create motivation and engagement. They see themselves in the bigger picture of what the organization means to the community. And just a great credit to Carla, the team, all of the folks at Johnson Bank that continue to give of themselves to make our community better.
It amazes me. We give out, during our volunteer day, we give out Volunteer of the Year awards. And I'm fortunate to be part of that in many cases down in this community. The number of hours that our associates put into the community is unbelievable. And some of the award winners, it's like 300-400 hours a year that they give back into the community. And it's not all during banking hours. It's on their own time at night and on weekends, different things that they're passionate about, get involved in. And when I read the stories of all the involvement that they have, the time that they commit into the community, it brings a tear to your eye.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
Well, and that's great that Johnson Bank is not only talking about this, not just paying lip service, but really backing up those words, especially when it comes to, for instance, allowing some of your employees to even step away from their work at the bank for a time to do this other work, which obviously the bank values as much as what goes on within the four walls of your bank.
Yeah, it is great. They're a great organization that are really committed to the community.
And then I heard as a thank you, you go around and cook hot dogs and brats for everyone too. Is that right?
That is right, actually. We do have awards for some groups that we do as a leadership team. We go out and cook them lunch for a day.
That's the day I'm going to show up at the bank.
There you go. So, Carla Kriebel, as we mentioned earlier, 1 week from tonight, you're going to be on a podium.
Don't make her nervous.
Okay, all right. There'll be one or two people there, and you're going to be speaking primarily, of course, to the graduating class of 2017, and, of course, the throng of well-wishers who will be in attendance. So tell us about the moment that this invitation came to you. Or was it more of a summons? I mean, how did this come about?
Well, when Brian asked to meet with me, I had no idea what he wanted to talk about. And this would have probably been the last thing I would have thought of when he did talk with me. So I was very surprised that he chose me to speak at the graduation. And I think I said, well, I got to think about this.
You did. Yeah. I had to call you back. Okay, have you thought about it yet?
Oh, yeah, because I was not expecting that at all. And I really went through that process of thinking, why me? Because I was very surprised he chose me. And kind of went through that process and talked to a few people I worked with, talked to my husband Randy about it, and came to a conclusion that, yeah, I will do it. And really challenge myself on, okay, what value can I bring to the students in my speech to them, and kind of look back at my history of being that first one in my family to attend college and what I've been able to accomplish in my career and some advice that I can give the graduating students here, seniors here, to help them in their career. And looking back at my 30-plus years, I've made a lot of decisions, choices that I have made some great decisions and decisions I've regretted and things that have really helped me along the way. And I think that's the type of advice that they're searching for right now.
Of course.
And I would think our listeners just in the last 30 minutes understand exactly why Carla is the right person to do this. I mean, your story, your family story, your commitment, your business commitment to the community, the community's trust in Johnson Bank and you as a leader of that, those are the stories that help our students see themselves in the future. And I'm just so proud. And I know it was a surprise to you, but it was not a surprise to me. I had been waiting for this moment for the entire – it's kind of like the one job that I have here that really is important to pick the commencement speaker. And what's the message and how do we align values of the individual and the organizations.
That's terrific. Is this kind of a first for you? I mean, obviously you've never given the commencement speech at Gateway before, but have you ever done anything like this before, or will this be kind of a first for you?
This will be a first for me.
It's like painting for me.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And one of the things that was a challenge for me was, I think if you asked anybody if they are great public speakers or like speaking in front of large groups, I think 99% of the individuals in the room would say that's not something they enjoy doing. And so that's never been something I've been eager to raise my hand and say, yes, I want to do this. And I always share this story. In high school, I was a very shy individual and challenged myself to take some different courses to break out of that shell because I knew I couldn't be that way if I wanted to be successful in life. And so I've done things in my career that I look back at and go, wow, really? I did that? But I've challenged myself each time to do different things to help get past that. And although this will be the ultimate, I don't want to know the number that's going to be there. but I think this will be the largest group that I do speak in front of. So
it's like any large group. You won't see very many of them because it's so big and the lights are bright and all of that. But, you know, when you think about challenging yourself and trying to do things that maybe you haven't had the opportunity to do, that's exactly what the message we want for our students. They've done a great job already, challenged themselves to complete their college degree, which is a great milestone, and yet the bigger challenges are still out there, right? And so just keep pushing yourself forward.
Right. And it's interesting, I mean, as someone who's been on that platform before, not to speak but to sing, I'm always struck by how it is a really big crowd, and yet it sort of feels like family, too, because it's all of these students who are all graduating from Gateway and all of their families there. And it really doesn't feel like kind of a cold, impersonal, frightening throng, not as much as you would think. I think you'll experience that when you're up there.
I hope so.
Well, counting on it.
I think she will. I mean, part of that whole experience is our students have been together for many years, so they all know each other. Our faculty are there, and they know the students really well. And the way the event is organized, I think, just makes it really supportive environment.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people there to help support and give guidance and direction and make people feel comfortable while they're there. And
yeah, it really feels like a celebration, right, which is what it should be. Carla Kriebel, I know that in addition to some of the other things we've talked about in terms of your interest in Gateway from a very personal point of view, it's probably important for us to acknowledge that Johnson Bank has been very, very supportive of this thing called the Gateway Promise, which strives to make college affordable for just about anybody. Explain why this is so important to you and to Johnson Bank to support the Gateway Promise.
I'll start with why it's important to me. It's important to me because I look at how many kids nowadays or young adults can't afford college. And I look back at when I was a senior in high school and thought about going to college, just the whole how am I going to pay for it was a challenge. Didn't have funds set aside for college education, but really wanted to go. And it's a challenge for a lot of people, and so much of a challenge that I think a lot of individuals don't go. They don't take that next step because they don't feel like they have the resources. So important to me to be able to provide some scholarship money, dollars, to individuals that maybe can't afford it otherwise to achieve their dreams someday. And so it's very personal for me. I wish I would have explored those avenues when I was younger and known that type of money was out there to help me through the process. And I just think it's important that the kids today know, and young adults, I know they're not all kids, young adults know what the options are, and there are people out in the community that are giving back to the community through scholarships to make it more affordable for them to achieve their dreams.
Mm. And it's such a unique program. The Promise Initiative is, you know, there's 150 communities around the country now. Gateway was the number 100th community to start a Promise program, and we think it's going to have a tremendous impact for generations because it's not just 1 year. This is an endowment process. So from now until perpetuity, to forever, families will be able to have that conversation with their children about going on to college and finding a pathway that makes it affordable so that the dream is alive in our community and that our community has said this is something they value because the workforce is changing, the expectations are changing of a community. And so to have Carla and many others in our community to step forward to say this is important, not only for our time here, but for the next generation and generations after.
And making the decision to give to the Gateway Promise was easy for me because Brian Albrecht and the team here do such a wonderful job of sending the message out into the community and letting them know what's available through Gateway, letting kids know that there are options for them. And that to me is really critical.
Thank you.
I know that one thing that gets talked about more and more is this notion of financial literacy, of people needing to understand how money works. And also when we start getting into things like accumulating debt and what it means to take out a loan and how you pay back a loan and so on. And my understanding is that Johnson Bank really cares about this to the extent of really trying to help people develop their financial literacy and for instance, helping people understand what it means to take out maybe a gigantic loan to help pay for college. Explain what your efforts are in that regard.
Wow, I don't know where to start there. We do a lot of different things, whether it's on the home mortgage side, the lending side. For first-time home buyers, we do a lot of education to individuals who just think it's not possible to purchase a home. They just will never be able to afford it. So we do a lot of different programs out in the community. We don't have them come into us. We go out to them through different organizations and hold classes for those first-time home buyers to let them know what their options are and what they need to do to improve their credit score, to save money for the down payment. We counsel them on what dollar amount they can afford, what size home they can afford, and how to go through the process. It can be very intimidating to somebody who isn't familiar with that. So we make it more comfortable for them to work through that process, really partner up with them. And then on the individual side, whether it's through the student loan programs or different things that we do with individuals out in the classrooms on financial literacy, we really make an effort to go out into the community and talk to kids about that. A lot of high school senior programs we do where we go out into the classroom and talk to them about debt, accumulating debt, because as you and I know, both there's a lot of college students, by the time they graduate college, have an enormous amount of debt. Not just student debt, but they have a tendency to run up credit card debt or bills as they're going through college. And the importance of managing that, having a debt discipline through that process, is really critical for them to be successful after they graduate. So really try to focus on that as they are in that senior level high school program to make sure that they're prepared as they enter into college for that.
And my understanding is you also do things with even kids at the elementary school level, right?
We do. Whenever we're asked, we try to do whatever we can for the different schools out there in the community. So we have many of our employees go out and teach programs in the grade school level, middle school, high school, all three, and even at the college level, we go out and do teaching there.
Right.
So we try to help whenever we can, regardless of age.
We have a program at Gateway where every student, when they apply, is required to go through a financial literacy seminar so that they understand what their federal financial aid expectations and requirements are, so that they better understand what college debt means and which are the difference between a grant and maybe a loan. So, you know, they have to pay some of it back and some of it not, and how all of that process works. And it's been a really big piece of our focus right now because of the national news, you know, around college debt and college affordability. And the governor in Wisconsin has put a lot of expectations on colleges and universities, and in many cases has frozen tuition and at the university now reduced tuition to try to keep the affordability message very viable in our communities. And a part of that is the whole financial literacy and understanding of, you know, what is value and how does money make a difference in some of these decisions you're making.
And it's interesting, my sister, Sue Pacetti, teaches over at Tremper High School, and she's a business teacher over there, and she runs there, and I'm going to probably mess the name up here, but it's like a school-to-career program. It's a day where they have different people come in, and work with the students on financial literacy, really kind of that, what is it going to cost me to go to college, what's it going to cost me to buy a car, that type of thing. And she brings in different individuals throughout the community to come in. We have individuals at Johnson Bank that go in there and help her with that program. My husband, Randy, a retired high school English teacher, goes there and helps her out. But it's really interesting to bring different people throughout the community together. And she gives the kids a certain dollar amount in the very beginning and finds out how they ended at the end of the day. And it's a great program that she put
That sounds together. Fascinating because you're really surprised. You forget to just the sort of day-to-day expenses that a person has, you know. And, you know, you got to fill up the car with gas on the way here, and then you have to stop and get a few groceries on the way home, and then a flat tire and all this stuff. All of a sudden, it adds up to where there's not enough coming in to take care of everything going out. So I love that game.
It occurs to me, too, that some people grow up in homes where they are they might have parents who are very loving and great parents in other ways, but might be really poor models when it comes to this. And so, you know, this is a great opportunity for them to learn maybe how to avoid the mistakes that their own parents maybe make when it comes to, for instance, matters like money.
That is so true. And I'm amazed my sister does this, because we did grow up in a family where my mother didn't work. My father was in manufacturing, and they raised six kids on probably an annual income of $20,000+. I don't know exactly, but you look at that today, there's no way you'd be able to do that. But they did that. So it was kind of that living, as I grew up, my family lived paycheck to paycheck. And so there wasn't a lot of extra cash lying around, or there wasn't a lot of conversation about what are we going to do. So it's interesting that she did choose that path and what she teaches today.
In our last minute or so, any closing words of wisdom that you would have for people who want to be, in a sense, just financially maybe a little more stable and a healthier place? What would be maybe one or two quick words of advice that you would have for people
that want to be more financially stable? Every day matters. You know, my advice would be make sure that you work a budget. A lot of people do that paycheck to paycheck. That doesn't work. You should have a budget. You should really think about how you're going to spend your money. Have that debt discipline I referenced before. It's so easy to obtain credit out there today. Challenge yourself not to do that unless it's needed. And then, you know, I guess the last piece of advice I would give would be plan for the future. You know, that kind of goes with the saving piece, but I see so many people today that just don't set aside for the future, don't set aside for retirement. They just think it's going to be so far away, I don't have to worry about it. My first day on the job, I started putting into my retirement plan because you really do have to plan for the future, because you never know what's going to happen. So there's so many different pieces, it's hard to narrow it down to just a few.
It's a great place to start, though.
You know, so 30 years goes pretty quick, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
The same thing. It's like, it's already time to start thinking about retirement. But probably goes back to the old adage, a penny saved is a penny earned, right? So
definitely.
If you think about how you can save and how you can prepare for the future, whether it's financially or through education, you know, every class and every semester adds value to your lifelong career path and goals. So I think there's some really good wisdom in all of those, and anything that we can do to help our community grow in that direction.
Yeah, and that's a good point, Brian. I would say the one thing, part of my message is going to be always challenge yourself. You know, it's easy to, you know, not easy to graduate from college. You graduate from college, you get that job, and don't be that person that punches in and punches out. Always challenge yourself to grow as an individual. And that's when you're going to grow from an income standpoint, from a professionalism standpoint, just from an overall individual, you're going to grow by challenging yourself.
Carla Crable is president of the Southeast Region for Johnson Bank. Carla Crable, it's been great to meet you and hear from you. And I know that 1 week from tonight, you're going to just electrify that audience at Gateway's graduation. You have such a powerful message and story to share. And we wish you well with that and all of your future endeavors. And I'm really glad you could be part of the morning show today.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me here. Thank
and you, President Brian Albrecht, wonderful to have you here as always. We look forward to seeing you in the beautiful month of June.
Thank you, Greg.
I'm Gregory Berg. Tomorrow on the morning show, we will be previewing for you the new production of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, the Andrew Lloyd Webber musical that is going to be opening this Friday night and running for several weekends at the Racine Theater Guild. On Thursday, Art Sear will be joining us again with a special guest who is visiting Carthage College. And on Friday, we look forward to a visit from Jack Rose.